was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then down in verse 14 it says, the Word, who is of course Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. And God will add his blessing to that portion of his word. The story is called The Knock on the Door. Now, it was the week before Christmas. And Tony's mum had all the house ready. The tree was decorated, the decorations were up, the house was neat and tidy, and all Tony's mum had to do was go out and get the Christmas shopping and the Christmas food. So mum said to Tony, Tony, I've got to go and get the shopping, the house is all tidy, we're ready for Christmas. While I'm out, don't make a mess. And whatever you do, don't answer the door to any strangers, any people that we don't know. Okay, Mum, said Tony, I can do that. And Tony's mum went out to get the Christmas shopping. Tony thought, what shall I do? So Tony thought, I'll sit down in an armchair and I'll read my favourite book. So she sat down in the armchair and she started to read her book. And after a while, there was a loud knock at the door. I wonder who that can be. So Tony got up from the chair, went, and she could just see out of the side window who was standing at the door. Shall I show you? I can tell you're excited. And here it is. What could it be? Anybody got a suggestion? Sorry? A shopping bag, a carrier bag. If the children are here, I was going to work on that, but never mind, you're all very clever. So here we go, we'll finish it off. It's a shopping bag. Carrier bag. And there we are. Now, this shopping bag had two arms, two legs, two eyes, nose, and a mouth. And it could speak. Can I come in? Tony thought, no. Mum said, I mustn't let any strange people in. And then she thought, well, this isn't strange people, is it? By the way, I'll just say, next week I'm going to bring a sheet of paper with all my pictures on and the story written out on the back. And if you'd like to take a copy of that, you can, because I told this story to my granddaughter, Florrie, who was 5 at the time, and she gave her life to Jesus. She's 8 now. She still loves Jesus. But anyway, so I'll bring that for you. And let me in. I'd love to come in. Oh, my mum said I mustn't let any strange people in. I'm not a strange person. I'm a carrier bag. And Tony thought, shall I let him in? I say him, could be her. Shall I let the carrier bag in? And she thought, I will. Be great fun to have a carrier bag in here. So, she put a hand on the door handle, opened the handle. As she opened the door, in barged the paper bag, knocked Tony flying on the floor, and started going all over the house, into the kitchen, into the dining room, into the lounge. And as the paper bag was going, his little hands were going in the top of the bag and throwing things out all over the house. "What are you doing? What are you doing?" said Tony, following the bag around. And a strange thing happened. As she was following the bag around, she started to get all these strange thoughts in her head. Bad thoughts about her mum. "Fancy leaving me here all on my own." Bad thoughts about her brother who was at school. "He's always teasing me." Bad thoughts about dad. Just bad thoughts in her head. And she thought, "Oh dear." And when the paper bag had gone all over the house, into every room of the house, throwing out these thoughts, it went out of the door. And as it went out of the door, Tony said, "But who are you? Who are you? What have you been doing?" And the paper bag turned round and laughed. "My name's Bad Thoughts." And it went off, laughing its head off. And Tony shut the door, went and sat down in her chair, and thought, "Oh, what am I going to do? I can't stop thinking these bad thoughts. I better read my book." And she picked up her book. She tried to concentrate on it, but it was so difficult with all these thoughts in her head. And then another loud knock at the door. And she went to the door and she looked out. Would you like to see what she saw? I don't have to work this hard with the children, you know. And this is what she saw. Any guesses? It's a pen. Thank you. I'll just draw the rest of it. It was a massive pen. It was taller than Tony. And the pen said, "Can I come in?" And as she looked, she saw the pen had two arms, two legs, two little eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And it could speak. "Can I come in?" "Oh, no," said Tony. "I just had to carry a bag in here and caused all sorts of problems. I've got all these bad thoughts in my head." "Oh," said the pen, "that bag. Well, why don't you let me in? I can help you. I can help you with those bad thoughts. Come on, let me in." "Oh, but Mum said I mustn't let any strange people in. I just had that carrier bag in here and I don't know what I should do. What do you think? Open the door or not?" "Oh, come on." Open the door. Don't open it. Well, Tony thought, "Oh, well, I've never played with a pen this big before. I'll just let it in." So she reached out her hand and turned the handle. And as she opened the door, in barged the pen. Sorry, Linda, don't make you jump. In barged the pen. Knocked Tony flying right on the floor again and started going all over the house, writing on the walls and on the doors and on the ceiling and on the floor. Went into the kitchen, started writing on the kitchen cupboards, writing on everything he could see, even the cups and the saucers. And Tony's going, "Stop, stop, what do you think you're doing?" Mum said, "I mustn't make a mess." Into the lounge, into the dining room. Bad word. Oh, and the words. I can't even begin to tell you. If Tony had ever used those words in her family or at school, oh, she'd have got such a telling off and maybe worse. And the pen went all over the house, in the bedrooms, in the toilet, in the bathroom, everywhere, writing these awful, awful words. And when the pen had gone all over the house, it went out of the door. And Tony said, "This is awful. Who are you? Who are you?" And the pen looked back and laughed and said, "I'm..." Anybody like to have a guess? Bad words. Thank you, Andy. Bad words. "I'm bad words." And went down the street laughing its head off. And Tony shut the door. And when he sat down in her chair and started to cry, "Oh no, I've got bad thoughts in my head. All over the house is these bad words. What on earth am I going to do?" Well, Tony was sitting there, bad thoughts in her head, bad words all over the house. And then another loud knock at the door. She gets up again, wondering who on earth is going to be outside this time. And she looks, and this is what she sees. Any ideas? A boot. It was an enormous boot, as big as Tony. So let's draw it in. And the boot had two little eyes, nose, and a mouth. And it could speak. "Oh, can I come in?" Oh, Tony thought, "Oh no, what am I going to do this time?" "No, I'm not letting you in. I've had a carrier bag in here and I've got these bad thoughts. Then I had that pen in, left me with all these bad words. I'm not letting you in as well." "Oh, come on, Tony, let me in. It couldn't get any worse, could it? Perhaps I can help you." Oh, Tony thought, "Well, it can't get any worse, can it? What shall I do? What do you think?" "No." But Tony decides, "I'm going to let the boot in. What can get any worse?" She puts her hand on the handle. Are you ready for this, by the way? Yeah. Puts her hand on the handle, turns the handle, opens the door a bit, in barges the boot, knocks Tony on the floor again, and starts stomping all over the house. And oh, the damage that the boot did. Went into the lounge, knocked over the Christmas tree, all the Christmas tree decorations over the floor, stomped on all the baubles and broke them. Oh, went into the kitchen, opened all the cupboards, smashed all the crockery, even Mum's best crockery, save for special occasions like Christmas Day. And then it went all over the house, stomping up the stairs, into the bedroom, unmade all the beds that Mum had made, tipped over the bed, went into the toilet. Do you remember that little dog advert? Was it Andrex? Yeah. Got the toilet paper, went all over the house. What a mess. I can't begin to tell you what a mess the boot made. And when it had been all over the house, caused complete and utter chaos, broken, it seems, just about everything that it could break, it went out of the door. And Tony said, "Stop, stop, who are you? Who are you? Why have you done all this?" And the boot looked back and laughed. "I'm..." Any guess? Bad deeds. Could be bad deeds. Bad actions. Could be bad deeds. Bad actions. And laughed all the way down the street. And Tony shut the door, went and sat in the armchair, and just cried and cried and cried. "I've got bad thoughts in my head and I cannot stop thinking them. I've got bad words all over the house." And although she had tried, she couldn't rub them off. They were indelible. And now bad actions and everything is broken. When mum comes home, she'll be annoyed with me, but what's even worse, she'll be so upset. She worked so hard to make Christmas so lovely for the family, and she didn't know what to do, and she just sobbed her heart out. "I am so sorry," she said. And then there was a little tap at the door. And she went and she looked and she heard a little voice. I wonder if you can remember this from the last time I was up here. Join in if you can. Listen. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Well done. And as Tony looked and as Tony listened, there was something different about what she saw. Would you like to see? There it is. A candle. Thank you. A candle, of course, it's a candle. It's a candle. And of course, the candle had two eyes and a nose and a mouth. And the candle spoke in a very gentle and loving voice. There was something very different about this candle. "Tony," the candle said, "you're in a lot of trouble. I know all about that bad bag. I know all about the bad thoughts you've got. I know all about the bad words you've got written all over the house. And I know all about the bad actions and all the broken things in the house. And I know you're so upset and so sorry that you let all those things in. Will you let me in?" "Oh," Tony thought, "oh, I don't know. I just don't know. I've got all these bad thoughts, bad words, but how do I know you're going to be any different?" And the candle said, "Well, you don't have to let me in, but I would love to come in because I can help you." And Tony thought, there's something very different about this candle. And in her heart, she knew she should let the candle in. And so, she reached out her hand, turned the handle, and jumped back. And nothing happened. So she opened the door wide and nothing happened. And she said, "Aren't you coming in then?" And the candle said, "Only if you invite me. I would love to come in." "Come on in, please," Tony said. And the candle came in and a very strange thing happened. As they walked all over the house, everywhere the light of the candle shone, everything went back to normal. First of all, Tony noticed the bad thoughts started to go away. And she wasn't thinking bad thoughts anymore. "Oh, that's so lovely," she thought. "I can think about lovely things and good things, about how wonderful my mum and my dad and even my little brother is." Big brother, I should say, is at school. And then everywhere the light shone, all the words started to disappear. All those indelible words off the wall. And the walls looked actually cleaner than they did before. And as they went round and the candle shone, all the things that were broken and damaged that the boot had done all went back together. Even the Christmas tree. It was a miracle. It was amazing. And when they had gone all over the house didn't look as good as it did before. It looked even better. "Wow, how wonderful." And she said to the candle, "But who are you?" And the candle looked at Tony and said, "Oh, Tony, surely you know. I am, you want to finish it off for me? The light of the world. I am the light of the world. And I will never leave you. I will always stay with you." Well, Tony was there talking to the candle, the light of the world, so happy that all the house was looking spotless. And then the door opened and in comes Tony's mum. And Tony wakes up, because surely you realised it had all been a dream. And Tony couldn't wait to tell her mum the dream. Told her all about the carrier bag, all about the pen, and the bad thoughts and the bad words, and all about the boots. Oh dear. The boots. And all the bad actions. And then she said, "Oh, but then, mummy, the candle came, who is the light of the world, and everything was better than ever. And the candle promised he would never leave me, never forsake me. But mummy, who is the light of the world?" And so mum sat Tony down and told her all about Bethlehem and Jesus being born, and how he had come to be the light of the world to save us from our bad thoughts and bad words and bad deeds, but we have to ask him in. And then Tony's mum told Tony that the light of the world, the Lord Jesus, also had to go to a cross and there die for our sins, have nails pierced in his hands and his feet, because the babe of Bethlehem had to become the Christ of Calvary. Because without the cross, Bethlehem has no meaning at all. But with the cross, it means everything. In a moment, we're going to sing our last carol, In the Bleak Midwinter. And there's a line in that carol I want to draw your attention to. It's number 2. And it's the last verse, I'm sure you know it. "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart." Now, I know most of you, I know all of you here, but nobody knows what really goes on in the heart except Jesus and our Heavenly Father. I know most of you here have given your life to Jesus, but there might just be one here that hasn't. When we sing this carol and you get to that last two lines, "Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart." Why don't you silently say in your heart, "Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Come into my life." Can I tell you what will happen? That's a prayer Jesus always answers. And he'll come in, because Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I'll never turn away." So when we get to that line, you can make your mind up as you're singing through the hymn. And maybe you think, "Well, I've been a Christian for years. I love Jesus." Well, you know, you can just repeat that. He's already there. But you can just reaffirm your love for him. And maybe you're here and you're a Christian, you know Jesus is your Saviour, but things not been going well, perhaps not been living as you want. Perhaps some bad thoughts and bad words and bad actions. When you get to that line, you can in your heart say, "Lord, I'm sorry. From here on in, I want to live for you again. And you forgive all your sins, all your bad thoughts, bad words and bad actions. And you can start over again, living for Jesus." Yes, Father, what can I give you? Give you my heart. I pray that, Lord, everyone here this morning would have that same attitude, Lord. I give you my heart because you gave your all for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated and thank you for listening. I know it's really primarily a children's story, but really it is for everyone. And I hope everyone here now knows that the Lord Jesus is in. Have you said that prayer and you've never said it before? Please let someone know. Please let me know. Thank you.